was a terrorist.
Well, I'm not sure that's exactly the right term, but surely he terrorized a lot of people. He went around causing them great terror. They never knew when he was coming. They didn't know when they would be awakened in the middle of the night, dragged out of their homes, beaten, and imprisoned. Maybe terrorist isn't the exact right word, because when we say terrorist today, we think of suicide bombings, for example, or planes crashed into buildings and things like that. That's not exactly what this person did. Maybe a better term is vigilante, something like that. Or maybe the enforcer. Yes, he went around enforcing his will on people. He went to homes. He went to churches. He went to places of worship. And if he didn't like what he found there, he dragged them out of those places. He beat them. Not only that, he oversaw the killing of people that he disagreed with. He stood there with great approval as the people whom he disagreed were stoned. He was not terrorized, but he terrorized. He was the terrorist, causing terror in all the people. He went from place to place, enforcing his will on people. He was strong. He was powerful. We might even say he was strident. He was so confident in who he was. He was confident in his mission, and he wanted the whole world to know what he was about. And he enforced that. He forced people to do what he wanted to do. His name was Saul, the character in the Bible. Doesn't seem like the same person, does it? Paul the terrorist, Paul the enforcer and vigilante. But what does he say? I came to you with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling? The terrorist? The terrified terrorist? How is this possible? What made the change? What brought about the change in Paul? How is it that before he was saved, he went around terrorizing people? He was not afraid. He didn't care. He knew what he was doing. And now we come to his letter to the Corinthians. And he says, I came to you with fear and trembling. What brought about a change like this? Was it a change in personality? Did Paul have a personality change? He used to be confident, bold, knowing what he wanted to do. And now he's trembling and weak and afraid. Is that what happened? Well, I suppose that's possible. But our text makes it clear today that that was not what happened. It was not that he had a personality transplant. Something else was going on. Perhaps it was a change in tactic. In verse 2 of our passage, Paul says, for I resolved. You see, he has made a deliberate choice. He has made a choice to do what is best. So we can say, yes, it's a kind of tactic change. Before, his tactic was to kill people, or to beat them, to force them into submission. But now he has made a choice. He says, for I decided. But what is it that he decided? I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ. He has made a choice. It's not that he all of a sudden became fearful. It's not that all of a sudden he became terrified. No, he has made a choice to act in a certain way. It is a deliberate choice. Again, in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, so that. What's the so that mean? This is his purposeful decision. He has made a deliberate decision, yes, and he has made a decision for a purpose. His purpose is so that the Corinthians' faith would not be based on human wisdom, but on the power. He has made a tactical choice. And he did that because of the purpose that he has, that he would not be forcing people. You see, his old tactic was forcing people against their will. Now he has made a choice to approach people completely in the opposite way. Not because he has had a personality change, but because he wants them not to base their decision on his power or his strength, but so that they can base their faith on the power of God. So we find, yes, there's a time to rejoice, but this is not the whole story. You see, it's not the whole story because the culture in which Paul was working actually preferred the former behavior. They actually preferred someone to say, do it this way, and force them. Why? They didn't have to make a choice. They just did what they were told to do. They were accustomed to people who would force their will. We call the first century culture, the circum-Mediterranean culture, an agonistic culture, meaning to say they were constantly fighting with one another. What were they fighting for? For greater honor, for the ability to enforce their will, to force their will on one another. But look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 19 to 21. In these verses we read the following, "But I will come to you soon." Paul is speaking again to the Corinthians. "I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God depends not on talk, but on power. What would you prefer? Am I to come with you, to come to you with a stick, or with love, in a spirit of gentleness?" Most of us today would say, "Yes, please, spirit of gentleness, that's what I want. I would like that one. Yeah, be nice to me. I like it when people are nice to me. Yes, yes, yes. I choose that one." But actually, as my professor, Dr. Marchi, has pointed out, the Corinthians would have said quite the opposite. "Stick, please. Come with a stick. Yes, then I know what to do. I don't have to make a decision. You can just enforce your will on me, and I know what to do." See, the culture was based on power. And here Paul says the kingdom of God is also based on power, but not human power. The power of God is there. So we can say, yes, Paul changed tactics, but in quite an unexpected way. Why would Paul change tactics? We might think, so Paul changed tactics because he just discovered that he wasn't very effective in his first method. His first method of beating people just didn't work very well. So when he went to a new culture, maybe the new culture wouldn't respond to that, so culturally, he would decide, okay, yes, yes, yes. When I go to this new culture, they're like this, and so I will behave in a way that would attract them. But it's quite the opposite. He couldn't change tactic on the basis of the cultural expectation, because the cultural expectation was that he would do the very thing he used to do. So yes, there's a change in tactic, to be sure. A very deliberate, purposeful change in tactic, but there's more to it. You see, there was a change in heart. I don't know if you noticed that every song we sing today has to do with our heart. There's a change in heart. Paul put everything aside, his past priorities, his past practices, and his past purposes. He put them aside for the sake of Jesus. In making his strategic choice, Paul brought three things into alignment. His words, his theology, and his action. He was not acting schizophrenically, so to speak. He was not being hypocritical. Rather, he abandoned the bravado of honoring for the humility. He was not weak. His fear and trembling was not the result of his weakness, but rather he made a deliberate choice, a choice to reject the cultural norms and instead to pursue the way of the cross. Just as Jesus had set aside his divine prerogatives and endured the shameful death for the sake of others, so also Paul set aside his personal power and charisma for the sake of making Christ known. Paul had a very real change in heart. It wasn't just a change in tactic, strategy, or methodology. It was those things, to be sure, but it was deeper. It was a real change that began in the heart and extended to every part of his being. We too should have changed hearts. Our hearts must be aligned with the purposes of Christ. As Paul says in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ." Maybe you say today, "God already changed my heart. I don't need this message. This is a message for unbelievers. or new believers, not for me. I'm in seminary and I know all about this stuff. When I was a child, Bishop Robert Andrews used to come to our place. And he used to tell a story. Bishop Andrews was a big guy, strong. He used to tell the story of when he was just a boy. He was the youngest in his family. He had older brothers who were bigger and stronger. And they used to beat him up. And he would pray, God, make me grow up bigger and stronger than my brothers. So when I get big and strong, I can beat them up again. Beat them up instead. Well, they used to beat me up. According to Bishop Andrews, God did answer his prayer. He made him bigger and stronger than all his brothers. And at the same time, he changed his heart. When he got big and strong, bigger and stronger than his brothers, he didn't want to beat them up anymore. Because God had changed his heart. How does God want to change your heart today? Look inside. Is there something inside that doesn't conform to the image of Christ? Yes, maybe we're saved, but God is on a lifelong journey with us to make us ever more into His image. Are there cultural values that you hold dear? The way that your culture does something. You like it that way. But is it the way that God wants us to do things? Paul's culture said, yes, let's beat people. Let's beat them into submission. But God's way was the way of the cross. Or are there habits that you just become comfortable with? You like it that way. But it's not the way that Christ wants me. Or maybe you say, well, that's just the way I am. I can't change that. But do these things obscure people's view? Paul had a changed heart and a changed path. And his purpose was that God's heart could come into the life. How does God want to change your heart? That's great. Dear Lord, help us. Help us to see the ways that you want us to change. God, we pray, change our heart.